So today I have two goals. First is showing you how these kind of barrier methods we introduced on Tuesday are related to KKT conditions. Okay? And we will focus on a particular barrier. Second, I want to show how the idea that comes out from this relationship can be exploited in particular for linear programming, okay? Where things work better than in general cases. So let me just recall briefly the framework. So we have an optimization problem with just inequality constraints. We suppose that the set of strict, let's say strictly feasible points is non-empty. That is, there is at least one point such that all constraints are satisfied as strict inequalities. And then we suppose that every point in the feasible region, actually the relevant one are those which are not in the strict feasible region, can be arbitrarily approached by points from the strict feasible region. And I told you that if the constraining functions are convex, this is always satisfied. Okay? And the basic idea of this method was to introduce a barrier on the strict feasible region that is a function which blows up to plus infinity as the point approach the boundary. So the idea is to minimize the original object function, you epsilon times the barrier, all over the strict feasible region. The strict feasible region is an open set, so we do know that this problem, both constrained, is actually kind of unconstrained problem because at minima the gradient is zero. Okay? The gradient of the algebraic function has to be zero since the feasible region is an open set. And I told you that if you take a sequence of epsilon going to zero, let's say a sequence epsilon k going to zero, and if you take xk, the corresponding global minimum point, then the cluster points are solutions of the original problem. Okay? The barrier gets steeper and steeper, and you approach the optimal solution. And then I gave you a few exercises, simple exercises to see this thing. I also introduced you two kinds of barriers. The inverse barrier, which is done taking one over the constraint. And the logarithmic barrier, which is given taking with the appropriate sign the logarithm of the constraint. Okay? Today, I'm going to concentrate on this case, the case of the logarithmic barrier, which is actually the one who has drawn the most attention, and I hope you'll understand why very shortly. So let me give a name, Q epsilon, to the objective function plus the logarithmic variable. So this function here. First, I quote you a result. You can find proofs on textbooks, on advanced textbooks. Let's suppose that we are dealing with a convex optimization problem. So the objective and the constraining functions are all convex. So that also the barrier is a convex function, so the objective function here of this problem is indeed a convex function, and we are dealing with a convex optimization problem. Then let's suppose that the set of optimal solutions of our problem is non-empty and compact. Compactness is for free in many situations. For instance, if your feasible region capital X is convex, is compact. Under this assumption, you can prove that the sequence Fk of minimizers of the barrier problem that is, in this situation, the barrier problem with the logarithmic barrier has at least one cluster point. It doesn't matter if the feasible region is not compact. This is obviously true if the feasible region is compact, with no assumption. But even if the feasible region is not compact, but the set of minima is compact, then you have this property. Okay? And the second property is even more interesting, because cluster points require to take subsequences. Okay? But even if you don't take a subsequence, the sequence of the optimal values, okay, of this problem here, goes to the optimal value of the original problem. I mean, the sequence of Xk may not converge in the sense that it just has cluster points, but if you take the values, they converge to the optimal value, okay, without taking any subsequence, and the same happens also to the optimal values of the barrier problem. Okay. This means that considering the whole sequence, even in theory, you can approach arbitrarily the optimal value. Okay? In practice, I always told you there is not this difference because sequence converge or don't at all. Okay? You don't have a situation in which you need to find a subsequence. But
The gap between theory and practice here
gets smaller because we have this.
Okay. If you consider the optimal values of the barrier problems, there is convergence to the optimal value of the original problem. Okay. So that if you want an approximate optimal solution, you can consider the whole sequence, even in theory. Okay. This was just for completeness, because my main interest is the connection with KKT conditions. Okay, so
here is our objective function with the logarithmic barrier. Here it is our problem. It minimizes this function over an open set. So minima satisfy. Oh, here should be sorry. Epsilon k for some sequence epsilon k going to 0. Okay? Now, let's just consider this barrier problem with an arbitrary k, epsilon.
Okay? And let's consider
epsilon x epsilon local minimum point.
We know that this means
that the gradient of the objective function is how?
It's a minimum, so the gradient has to be zero.
The gradient is zero.
Okay. But now we have the shape of this objective function, okay? Because it's the original objective function plus this particular barrier. Okay? So we can take the gradient. So the first part is clearly the gradient of f.
Then there's a minus epsilon.
And then I have a sum. Okay, I have a sum, and I have to take the gradient of the logarithm of minus gi. So, when I take the gradient of the logarithm, I get 1 over the argument. So, I get
1 over minus gi. Sorry, everything is to this point.
And then I have to take the derivative, the gradient of the argument. And the gradient of the argument is minus the gradient of gi. There's a minus. So here we have a plus. Okay?
Minus the gradient of gi in the point.
Okay? Let me simply rewrite this.
Put an epsilon here.
Now, if you give a name here,
here you have coefficient,
you have the gradient of the objective function plus the sum of the gradients of the constraining function, each one with a coefficient, with a multiplier in front of it. Okay? This is exactly Lagrange multiplier's rule for the original problem. Okay?
Because it would be the gradient of f plus the sum over all the constraints of multiplier times the gradient of the constraining function.
So we could call this, let's say, lambda I epsilon. So there's a connection between the barrier and Lagrange multipliers. If you solve the barrier problem, you get a point satisfying the Lagrange multipliers rule with these multipliers. But we have to be careful. Is it satisfying KKT conditions? Because KKT conditions are not just these ones. Okay? KKT conditions are Lagrange multipliers rule, and we have it. Then the multipliers have to be greater or equal than zero. Is it true? Well, this point is feasible. Actually, it is strictly feasible. So all of these are positive. So, yeah, they are positive. That's good. That's good. And then we have complementarity. Okay? The multipliers times the corresponding constraining function has to be zero. Okay? So it should be that lambda I epsilon gi f epsilon, this should be zero. Okay? And is it true? Just replace. What do you get? You don't get zero. You get epsilon over this, over minus this. So you get minus epsilon. Okay? So, complementarity slackness is not satisfied. Okay? Otherwise, suppose everything is convex, this would be the solution of the original problem. And we would be very happy. Okay? So, complementarity slackness is never satisfied. Okay? But it is satisfied in, let's say, an approximate way. Okay? If epsilon is extremely small, you could say that the complementarity slackness is roughly, approximately satisfied. Okay? So, here we have Lagrange multipliers rule, feasibility of F, which is, okay, I can write it here, which is guaranteed by our process. Actually, we know that this is absolutely smaller. And complementarity slackness. Let's say we can put the Lagrange multipliers rule in green, since it is satisfied. We can put feasibility in green, because it is satisfied. We could put feasibility for the multipliers in green, because it's satisfied. We are almost satisfying complementarity slack. This is the reason why these conditions, where here you have something different, okay? Actually, the usual thing is to put the minus here and to put an F positive sign here. This is the reason why these conditions are called approximate KKT conditions. Okay? Everything is satisfied except complementarity, which amounts to a positive value. Okay? So, in general, we could give this a name. And call approximate KKT conditions these ones. So approximate KKT condition. It is the Lagrange multiplier rule.
feasibility of the act, non-negativity for the multiplier, and approximate complementarity. And this is what you get if you solve the barrier problem. Okay? Indeed, you can prove that under reasonable assumptions, okay, I'm not going to give you the details because they require also, I think, second order optimality conditions, which we do not study. But if you're interested to go deep in the topic, you can find it on books. As epsilon goes to zero, and you start close enough to a point satisfying the KKD condition, you are convergent to this point, and the multipliers lambda I epsilon converge to multipliers. Okay? Everything goes the way you hope to. Okay? Everything goes smooth under reasonable assumptions. I'm more interested in this independently somehow. Okay? These are KKT conditions where here you have an epsilon, and notice that this value is the same for all constraints. Okay? This is the same value. Whenever you take a pair multiplier constraint, you ask them to be equal to the same value. The way these conditions are handled is a bit different. It exploits slack variables. To each constraint, you associate a slack variable in such a way that feasibility turns to be GIX plus SI equals 0 and SI greater or equal than 0. Oh, sorry, here there should be a minus, sorry. In this way, let me change it here. This means SI equals 0, and then you also have SI greater or equal than 0 here. And what you get is that since SI is minus GI, here you can replace it and write it in a more elegant way. Lambda I SI equals epsilon. Okay? From a pure mathematical point of view, there's nothing changing. Okay? Why it is nicer? It is nicer because now this is an inequality. Okay? And here, let's see how many... So, suppose I want to solve this. Okay? How many equations do I have? I have here n equations. These are n. These are m. And these are m. Okay? So I have n plus 2m equations. And how many variables do I have? I have now the x, the lambda i's, and the s i's. Okay? X, how many x do you have? N. How many lambdas do you have? M. How many s i's do you have? M. So you have n
plus n variables. Okay? You have n plus 2n variables. So you have n plus 2m equations in n plus 2m variables. Okay? No linear equation. So what does it come to your mind? Okay? You have a system of, let's say, L equation, L nonlinear equation L variables. Newton method is what comes to your mind, okay? Newton-Raphson method, let's say, to be more precise. And indeed, this is the basis of what are called primal dual interior point methods, okay? Primal relates to our problem. Dual relates to Lagrange multipliers. We have seen that in case of linear programming, they are the variables of the dual problem, okay? Interior point, because it comes up from the idea of the barrier, okay? Here you are solving the barrier problem in this way, okay? You should stop me and say that I am tricking you, because it's not here today. I had already this objection. It's not true that I have n plus 2m equation in n plus 2m variables. I also have time constraints. Okay? These 2m variables must be greater or equal than zero. And Newton does not take care of them. Okay? So, if I use Newton, I have no guarantee that the solution I came up with has non-negative components for the multipliers and the slack variables. So this is a trouble that you need to address, and so my goal will be to give you an idea of how to address this issue. Okay? And I will do it for linear programming. Okay? I will show you the idea on linear programs. But before I do this, there's something more I would like to show you on this problem here. Okay? The barrier problem provides us approximate KKT conditions, but there is some nice result I can show you because it's very easy. And we do understand roughly that this approximation should be good as epsilon is small, okay? And I want to give you something formal about this. So let me here. Somehow I'm giving you the proof of the fact that f at xk goes to f star, if you want, okay? What I wrote earlier, when I consider a sequence of epsilon k there. Why? Let's go back to that. Okay? We know that the gradient of f at xk plus lambda I epsilon, the gradient of gi in x epsilon is 0. Okay.
Let's suppose that S and the GI are convex. Okay. This is the gradient of Q epsilon F. So, in this case, Q epsilon is convex and its gradient is zero. So we are at a minimum point all over the full space. Okay? The function is convex everywhere. So, I'm telling you, this is not, this is, yes, this is the gradient of that, yes, but first, that's the grid, yes, okay, now it was correct, but I don't want to make it this way, I want to write it in this different, let's suppose these are fixed, okay? So, X epsilon minimizes F of X plus the sum of the given multiplier times C. Okay? Because when I make the gradient of this with six multipliers, I get this. Okay? The fact is that if you consider this, these multipliers depend on the data. Okay? But if I fix them, if I give them, if I consider them given, I'm minimizing this function. Okay? And we also know that the lambda i's are all positive. Now, let's take a feasible point, a feasible x. Let's take a feasible x, so let's take S feasible, which means that GI X is less or equal than zero. Okay? So, we know that this is a minimum, so it means this. I'm just writing that it is a minimum. I'm writing it explicitly. But now, lambda I epsilon is positive. GI is less or equal than zero, so this is less or equal than zero. Sorry, at x. So, positive, less or equal than zero. All of this is less or equal than zero, so all of this is less or equal than x. Okay? Is any feasible point. Okay? So this is true for any feasible point. If it's true for any feasible point, it will be true also for the points which provides the minimum. Okay? So I have, forget about this, you have that this quantity is less or equal than f at x for every x feasible. So it is also less or equal than the optimal value. which is the minimum. Okay? Now, let's focus on this. We know the value here because the multipliers are these, and we know this. So this is minus epsilon. Okay. Each of these terms is minus epsilon. You sum m of them, so all of this is minus n times epsilon. So this is telling you that f at x epsilon is less or equal than the optimal value f star plus m epsilon. Okay. Moreover, this is the optimal solution of that problem up there. Okay. So it is a feasible solution for the original problem. So this is also, this value here is also greater or equal than the optimal value, because this is a feasible point. Okay. So I got something really very interesting, because you solve the barrier problem using the logarithmic barrier, you get this inequality. At the optimal solution, the value of the objective function lies between the optimal value of the original problem and the optimal value plus n times epsilon. Okay? This is telling you that the gap from optimality is n times epsilon. Okay? It means that you almost solve the problem if m epsilon is very small. So if you have many constraints, epsilon has to be smaller and smaller. Okay. If you don't have many constraints, which is generally the case, you don't have 10 to the power something constraints generally. Okay. Epsilon drives the quality of the barrier problem. Okay. Notice that we were able to do all these things just because we used the barrier, okay? We used the particular shape of the barrier here, okay? So what I'm telling you is not true in general for any barrier here, okay? We exploited the fact that when we computed derivatives, the derivatives were done that way, okay? So this is true in general for the logarithmic barrier. The logarithmic barrier also leads us to approximate KKT conditions, okay? Which is a square system of nonlinear equations plus non-negativity constraints. So I think we can stop for 5 minutes now, then I'll explain you how to address this issue, and I'll show it to you in linear programming.